We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 47. We shall read again at verse 5. Psalm 47 at verse 5. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Amen. We believe that the Psalms are the songs of the Church, Old Testament and New Testament. Many find fault with the Psalms for various reasons, and one is that they would say that the name Jesus is not to be found in the Psalms. That is not really correct. You think of the meaning, the significance of the name Jesus, which is the Lord is salvation, the Lord saves. And that truth is certainly there in the Psalms. And Jesus answers to that truth. But there are many references in the Psalms to the person and the work of Jesus Christ under various titles and actions. And we believe that this book is indeed very full of our precious Lord and Saviour. And here in Psalm 47, perhaps a psalm we're not so familiar with, we find a wonderful truth concerning our Lord. It's there in those words at the beginning of the text. God is gone up. Well, we shall see what that refers to as the Lord helps us. We shall note three things in our text. And we shall refer to other portions of Scripture in connection with these things. And we're saying that the words of our text have reference to the Lord Jesus. The first thing then is his exaltation. God is gone up. Here is one who is exalted. And who can that apply to? Going up, well, only to one who first came down. And that is the Son of God, God's only begotten, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. He came in humiliation. That was necessary in order for him to redeem his people. But after that, his exaltation. Now, in the first instance, the psalm and the text might be referring to the Ark of the Covenant. We were reading of that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Zion, and he placed it in the midst of the tabernacle. What was the significance of the Ark? It signified God's presence in the midst of his people. God made covenant with Israel, a nation whom he chose, a people for his own name. And God uniquely dwelt in their midst, and he dwelt among them in his holy and his gracious presence. And they enjoyed his favor. But that dwelling of God in the time of the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and then in the temple, it was preparatory to the wonderful reality of what we have in the New Testament. We have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of the covenant of grace, And he has the name Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. And the church of the New Testament is blessed above and beyond the church of the Old Testament. One church, one people of God. But now, the Lord himself among his people. He came in the fullness of the time, becoming man. He taught the things concerning the kingdom of God. But supremely he suffered. Suffered for sin. Not his own, he had none. But the guilt of his own people was reckoned to him. And he bore it. And he bore the wrath of God as a consequence. This was his atoning work. And he carried out that work from the very time he became man. The incarnation that led then to his obedience, his forming of righteousness in obedience to every requirement of God's holy law. And we are to think about that. You and I have broken every commandment, every precept, in a multitude of ways and multiple times. We need this Jesus Christ. And we should praise God for him, that he was perfect in his life. Not just his outward life, but his inner life. When God looks upon your heart and my heart, he sees our sin. We can hide it perhaps from others, but not from God. But when God looked upon his Son, Jesus Christ, in our flesh, he saw only perfection. That which brought God delight and gave glory to his name. Christ finished his atoning work on the cross of Calvary. There he put away sin, fully and finally. All the sins of all his people. He brought in everlasting righteousness for them. When he cried, "It is finished," redemption was complete. And we know that he appeared to the disciples over 40 days. But at the end of that, he ascended up into heaven. That was the second step, if you will, in the exaltation of Christ. First, the resurrection, and then his ascension. Returning to where he was before. And as God, of course, he was ever in heaven, even when, as the mediator, he was upon the earth. But bodily, he went up. He went to the right hand of God. And we say that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. And you might say, well, is he not now in heaven? Is he not distant from us? By no means. He's the infinite God. He's present everywhere. But especially, you remember the promise he made to the disciples, to the church, that when he would go to God, he would receive from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and he would pour the Holy Spirit upon his church and people. Another comforter, one of the same kind as Christ, the third person of the Trinity, The Holy Spirit, who never speaks of himself, but always of Christ. That is his ministry in terms of the salvation of God's people. That is the ministry you and I enjoy when we're involved in heavenly things, when we're occupied with the means of grace, when we're at worship, when we're thinking upon the blessed things of the eternity to come for God's people. So Christ is exalted, but Christ is with his church. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We were reading of the ark. In a way, the ark of the covenant prefigured Christ's ascension. The way it was brought up to Jerusalem, and the way it was placed there in the tabernacle in the midst of it. And before that, we have Enoch, and as you know, he was translated. He went straight from this world to the next without dying. That prefigured Christ. An ascension, a going up, a bodily exaltation. It was the same with Elijah. He didn't die. He was taken up in a chariot, a fiery chariot, to heaven. Lord Jesus Christ ascended bodily. And that is a great wonder. And that is something the church should think upon. Prefigured by the Ark of the Covenant, by Enoch's translation, Elijah's. You may know that in the Church of Rome, the same thing is attributed to Mary. The Assumption of Mary. The idea, it's a fable, it has no scriptural basis, that she was taken bodily into heaven. And as well as it being unscriptural, you could see that if that was so, that would detract from the ascension of our Lord. Those who came before, they pointed to Christ, as in so many ways individuals under the Old Testament did. But when Christ has ascended, well, that is it. It was all pointing to him. He bears the glory. The triumph is his. He is the exalted Redeemer. And we worship him and we praise God for this great truth. We don't observe a day regarding the ascension. Some churches do. But we again do not have a warrant in Scripture for that. There are two redemptive acts of Christ that we are to remember, and God has appointed ways by which we are to do that. His death, we remember that in the Lord's Supper. His resurrection, we remember that on the Lord's Day. We remember the ascension. We think about it. It's a present reality. We do not need a day in order to seal it upon our minds. Then we have the acclamation. The acclamation. God has gone up with a shout. And we read in the Old Testament, it's also there in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, of how when the ark was making its way up to Jerusalem, all the people shouted out loud. What then of the reality as it concerns Jesus Christ? We have the account of that in several places in the New Testament. Firstly, in the Acts of the Apostles, and in chapter 1, there we have some of the details. And we learn from where Christ ascended. It was from the Mount Olivet, that is taught us in Scripture. He went up bodily while they beheld the disciples. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. They lifted up their voices in praise and acclamation. We gather that from Luke's account of the gospel at the very end of it. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God, acclaiming the glory of God in the person of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We learn also in Acts of angels, two angels appearing in white apparel, announcing the ascension and promising how he would return. The Lord Jesus is to come again. Scripture teaches us that. But how? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And that is important for us to note. Christ went visibly up into glory. He shall therefore come again visibly. You have certain groups and cults that speak of a secret coming of Christ, a coming perhaps in two different stages, the first unseen, unknown, and then later it becomes manifest. But Christ went up visibly, he shall descend visibly. It will be a public thing, not hidden. Every eye shall see him, even them that pierced him. Day of fear and trembling for many when Christ returns. A day of great joy and acclamation for the Lord's people. Do we know the risen Christ dwelling in our own hearts? Do we know the ascended Christ as the one who strengthens us by his Spirit? Are we always looking up ourselves to the Son of Man, our Redeemer, where he now is, the honour he has at the right hand of God? He's enthroned as the Redeemer. He is reigning, ruling over the affairs of this world. Sometimes the church and the people of God can be greatly discouraged because of all the opposition and because perhaps of the weakness of our faith. The church is not defeated, And the church never shall be. The church is victorious because her king, her head, is victorious. And in looking up and in considering Christ where he now is, then our spirits are lifted up. And praise flows forth from our lips. Praise to our great King. Never let any say, that Christ is not reigning, not ruling. He very much is. And the events that come to pass, we are bound to understand, are all as God has purposed in eternity. All that he has appointed. There may be many mysteries there. And yet we have such puny minds and such limited understanding. We cannot see the end from the beginning. But it should encourage us to know that Christ is ascended and he sits at God's right hand. The final point is the jubilation. The Lord has gone up. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. That was another sound that accompanied the bringing of the ark to Jerusalem. The people shouted and the trumpet was blown. Now, given that we've already seen, even as it was spoken by those two angels, that Christ's descent at his return to this world will be comparable to his ascent. And Paul tells the Thessalonians that Christ will descend with the trump of God. Well, then the trumpet must have sounded at our Lord's ascension. The two are equivalent. And the trumpet in Scripture was often blown in the way of rejoicing, a joyous note, and certainly the ascension of Christ is a very joyful thing for believers to contemplate. Christ ascended because he finished his work. Christ ascended because he conquered all his and our enemies. He triumphed over his foes in making provision for sinners. He has triumphed for us. That is a blessed thing. There is nothing left for us to do to bring about salvation. It is all of the Lord in a sovereign way, a gracious way. What God requires of us is that we receive it. And he gives us the gift of faith to enable us to receive it. And we receive it in Christ, from Christ, by Christ. We receive Christ. And we have everlasting salvation. All our sins are forgiven. We are become the children of God. We have the beginning of true holiness. And we're able to look forward with the utmost confidence that what God has begun, he will certainly continue. And he will bring it to a glorious completion. While we were singing in Psalm 68, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Those are wonderful words. They're written in the time of the Old Testament, but they're very much applicable to our experience in the time of the New. Were we not among the rebellious ones? That is man, fallen man, with his enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, not able to be. The workings of iniquity in our sinful souls. Rebelling against God, lawbreakers. But gifts have been received from Christ for sinful men. And do we not know those gifts? The gifts of God's grace. The gift of a new heart. Where did that come from? Not from ourselves, not from a preacher, but from the Lord. His Holy Spirit sent into our hearts to give us newness of life in union with Christ. By faith, God's gift, as we have said, and repentance, which is also a saving grace. We know it's a natural thing sometimes to have regrets, to be sorry about things we've said and done, even to be remorseful. But repentance is more than that. Repentance is an altogether different mind, not just about some things, but about our lives. We have been on the wrong foundation, Adam, and we recognize we need a right foundation, one that will bear our weight, one that will deal with our guilt and our corruption. And Christ is that foundation, the rock of our salvation. Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And when we have Christ in our lives, then the truth is, the Lord is with us. We are the habitation of God. By the Spirit, we are God's household, brethren one of another, belonging to Christ, and dwelling together in the fellowship of the church. And when that is so, the Lord being in our hearts, amongst us, we're all drawn in the same direction. We're all drawn in our hearts and minds upward. We're all drawn to Christ, where he now is. It's all too easy to be earthly in the manner of our living from day to day. To be occupied as we are with the affairs of this life, when our blessedness consists in being risen spiritually already, even while we remain in this world. And we remember the exhortation Paul gave to the Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God is gone up, the Son of God, in our nature. He is there on the throne. He will descend with the redeemed already in glory, and with all the holy angels, and the trumpet shall sound, and there will be great jubilation, because Christ comes to usher in the final perfect state for his church. Well, let us think upon Christ, where he now is, ascended on behalf of his people, and reigning and ruling in their interest. And may God bless these things to us. Let us pray. We thank thee, O Lord, for this truth of a Saviour gone up to glory, and we are in his train. We shall have our entrance there in time. May we hold fast, continue with Christ, following his steps. Hear us and bless us. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.